This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. And it's part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. You can also follow me on Twitter or Facebook under the name Derek Coward. Or Instagram under the name Comic Book Noise. Alright, first off, I'm driving, as usual. However, this is me driving in the afternoon. Why did you stop? There's a lot more people who are driving around, so there may be a lot of noise in the background. Because it is like 80-something degrees, my car has been sitting all day, and yeah, it's kind of hot. Now, I'm going to talk about IndieWire's, the website IndieWire.com. They have a top 25 sci-fi movies of the century so far. Why they just couldn't say for since 2000? I don't know, but anyway. However, they have a couple of rules. Three, in fact. Rule number one, no superhero movies. They said that it's pretty much a genre on its own, so it should not be included in science fiction. I, however, think that's a load of crap. I think that these guys are just... anyway. Number two, no films with sci-fi segments without the whole film being in the genre. See Cloud Atlas and The Fountain. I haven't seen either one, so I don't know what they're talking about. I kind of know what they're talking about. Using this rationale, none of the Back to the Future films should count. You know, technically they should not count, especially. So I guess I was thinking, especially number three. Because that's just a Western. It's not just a Western. It is a Western. But also, number one. I was thinking, well, number one, that really dealt more with the ramifications of what he was doing. But it's not really science fiction. I think the only one that you could probably make an argument for is number two. And once again, they just spent a bunch of time going back and forth. And number three, no films that don't quite feel like they are true science fiction. That is the most subjective, and that's why I'm going to read these off, but please take them with a grain of salt, mostly for that third rule. You know, there's no true science fiction. You know, it doesn't feel like true science fiction. Isn't there like a no true Scotsman argument? So I think that they've just gone ahead and made that whole argument, which to me sort of doesn't exactly invalidate this whole rule, but it does, I mean, this whole list, but it does make a lot of stuff really suspect, you know? Anyway, I'm going to do this in countdown order because that's how they did it on the website. Number 25, Edge of Tomorrow from 2014. Now, I've seen this movie, and I think I talked about this movie. I like this movie, you know. It was not real hard science fiction. In fact, I thought that the resolution where they had to go, you know, the final third to me didn't really seem like it was like the rest of the movie, but it was pretty good. No, I liked it. I would recommend it. I don't know if I'd watch it again. I can't remember if I said I would or not, but I don't know. The more I'm away from it, you know, as time has gone by, it's not one of those movies I would just like beat down somebody's door to say, hey, you've got to see this. But if somebody said, hey, would you recommend this? I said, yeah, that's a good movie. Number 24, Donnie Darko from 2001. I didn't know this was a science fiction movie. Really didn't. It pops up on so many best of science fiction lists. And I thought it was a pretty good movie. But I really thought it was about some guy who was going crazy. I didn't know it was about science fiction. I may have to watch it again because... I don't know. This, to me, this already breaks two of their rules, which is number two and number three, because I don't recall any science fiction-y stuff. Maybe I need to watch it again. Maybe there's somebody listening to this going, dude, there was a fucking killer robot throughout the whole thing. How did you not see that? If that's the case, then wow, you know. I'm feeling rather sheepish. But no, I didn't get the whole science fiction aspect. I just thought it was some dude going crazy. And there was some guy who's trying to sell stuff. Oh, and I found out what the third thing was. Because if you ever watched it, he said that, you know, there are two things you have to give up. There are three things you have to give up. And he tells you what number one and number two are. But he never really says what number three is. Because he says, that's the most difficult one. Well... it was all on the internet. I found it on the internet. The answer is in the movie itself, there's a chalkboard where he writes everything down, and apparently he writes down number three is no orgasm. So I guess the secret to success is no orgasming. Anyway, yeah, that's why I won't be a success. Number 23 from the year 2000, Battle Royale. Or Battle Royale. I guess you could say this is a science fiction movie. Simply because it's in some sort of what they refer to as a dystopian future. And I guess with a dystopian future, it automatically counts as science fiction. Okay. This movie I liked. In fact, I have the Blu-ray box set that has it's one of those things that has the Blu-ray and the DVDs, and it has number one and number two. I still haven't watched number two. Number one I really liked. I liked the manga as well. I should say those parts of the manga that I've read. I read the first, I want to say like six parts of the manga, and then I stopped. This was digital. I think I got it from Tokyo Pop's website. I think that's what it was. What it was saying here, read this, and I read that. You know, and I know that Keith Giffen had a lot to do with the. I don't know if it was necessarily a translation, but yeah, it's something to do with it being made. Because I remember when I saw that his name was attached to the project. I was really impressed because this would be the second time that one of my favorite American comic book artists has brought over, that I know of, that's brought something from Japan and tried to make it more popular over here in America. The first one was Lone Wolf and Cub, which had covers by Frank Miller. And then later, I think, covers by Matt Wagner. But that was just because Frank Miller read Lone Wolf and Cub, and even though he didn't understand Japanese, he was just blown away by the artwork and the storytelling. And he said that, hey, yeah, we got to get this over. And so he helped, the way I understand it, he helped First Comics get the rights to publish it here in America. And it worked out. Actually, one of my favorites. Yeah, and so when I read Battle Royal, and later in my life when I read Hunger Games, I knew, you know, where they got the asshole, where they got the at least some of the I can't remember where I am totally blank. Inspiration. There you go. I know where they got some of the inspiration from for the story. Although I don't know if the author of Hunger Games has ever read Battle Royal, but somebody had to mention her at some time. You know, this is very similar. With a little bit more, with a few differences, you know. I think that Hunger Games was always meant to, you know, where everything is being portrayed as this, the government trying to keep the people down. That's why it took tribute every year. However, the, Battle Royal just actually seemed like some sort of crowd control, you know, a population control, I should say, is weird. Anyway, number 22, Interstellar from 2013. I still have not seen this movie, so I can't speak on it. Number 21, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes from 2014. I like this movie. I really did. And I probably did like it more than the other one. I can't remember the name of it. Even though I own it, but you know which one I'm talking about, like Birth of the Planet of the Apes or something like that. I like Ray Serkis as in this role. He's probably one of the better physical actors that's out working today. He gets his point across without saying a word. And I don't know if that's all on him, because obviously the screenwriters have to have a lot to do with it. But without him in the role of Caesar, I don't know if it would work as well. And I think the only other person who could probably do something like this would be Ray Park. And as much as I like Ray Park, I don't know if he would be able to pull off this Andy Serkis level of acting, you know. And Andy Serkis is also in Avengers Age of Ultron. And since I have a pretty good idea what's going to happen with his particular character, I'm kind of looking forward to that, to his acting once again. He'll be mostly CGI, but he did a really good job when he wasn't CGI. So I don't know. He's one of the better, like I said, flat out, he's one of the better physical actors out there. Very subtle in his mannerisms, but they work, you know. Last I stopped, my notepad fell on the floor, so I have to get it. Lost my spot. Number 12, Beyond the Black Rainbow from 2013. Is that what I read? Yes, Beyond. Oh, and it's 2010. I don't know this movie. I actually never heard of it. So I'm going, that's going on my to-watch list. In fact, all of the ones that I haven't seen, like Interstellar, is on my to-watch list. Beyond the Black Rainbow is going to be on my list. Number 19, which is Sunshine from 2007. I haven't seen it. So that's going on the list. 18, AI, Artificial Intelligence from 2001. I remember not liking this movie. You know, I saw it once, and while it was visually really good, visually it was stunning, I did not like the story, you know. It wasn't Haley Joel Osment, because I know a lot of people like to blame the quote-unquote failure of this movie, because it was not a big box office hit. It may have made its money back, but I remember when this came out, it was not considered a hit. I think maybe a lot of it had to do with the mood of the nation in late 2001. But, yeah. In fact, what really pissed me off was after that movie came out, people were complaining that in one of the scenes in the far future, there were the Twin Towers, right? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, people were complaining, like, oh, well, he could at least remove those. It's like, okay, this obviously, if those are there, then this obviously takes place in an alternate universe, you know, where people adopt robot children. You know, if you really thought that the Cold War paranoia made for some interesting sci-fi movies, I'd have to say that this post 9/11 world that we're living in has also made some. Has made up some pretty good ones. Not with the subject matter of you know, constant war, but just, you know, this whole... I don't know how it is I'm trying to say. Anyway, number 17 from 2015, Ex Machina. I have not seen this. This one is definitely on my to-watch list, however. Number 16 from 2006, A Scanner Darkly, which is apparently based on a P.K. Dick story. I have not made it through this movie. I tried to watch it once. And it wasn't the animation that turned me off. I just found it really slow moving. And because it was animation, I knew that it was some sort of fantasy because of the images that were shown. But I didn't know it was like straight up science fiction, you know, kind of like Donnie Darko. I just didn't see it. Number 15, 2002, Minority Report. Yeah, I like this movie. There were a lot of people who I know who didn't. Once again, it's Tom Cruise on the run from somebody, you know, where that happens a lot to that guy. It's kind of sort of like how Matt Damon always picks roles that make him a lot, where his character may be a lot smarter than he is in real life. Most of Tom Cruise's roles seem to deal with him being persecuted in some way and being chased. Yeah. Anyway, that's end of part one. Because I'm home now. And I will come back tomorrow with another episode where I will finish taking a look at this list. Left off at number 15, so the top 14 greatest science fiction movies of the century so far. according to IndieWire. Anyway, thanks, and like I said, I'll be back soon.